Good evening. The time is 5:03. The Warwick Finance Committee is open. I'd like to start with acceptance of the minutes from the last finance bid package. May I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. May I have a motion on the minutes for the count for the Finance Committee?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Solicitor, you have a statement to make?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There were some inquiries that were received, and we just want to clarify some information for the record pertaining to the bid package backup documentation for PCR 3722. Unfortunately, over the weekend, the large file that was uploaded was unfortunately not able to be fully presented, and as such, it was unable until brought to our attention and timely fixed. And so that has been up throughout the day today. We apologize for that inconvenience. We would like to note for the record that this information is supplementary information that the council provides in an effort to provide a very transparent form of government. It is not required under the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meetings Act addresses providing the notification for these meetings. And in that supplementary notification, we satisfy those with the timely publishing in multiple locations of the agendas that you see commonly. In addition, we also had the contents of the actual resolution as well, which had information pertaining to who the potential awardees, as well as the amounts to be awarded, was also available throughout the weekend as an additional and non-Open Meetings Act required disclosure. So we just want to let everyone know that the information that we tried to present in advance accommodation to all the members of the public was for the most part fulfilled. There was an unfortunate failure to get the full big package up, but that is not an Open Meetings Act issue, and it is able for us to proceed accordingly this evening and take action as the committee and council sees fit.
Thank you, Solicitor. Item number one is bid 2022-392, radio infrastructure improvement. This is found on page one. I welcome Major Lima.
Thanks, sir.
Good evening, Major.
Good evening, Councilman. Major Mike Lima, Warwick Police Department. Police Department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization to expend funds for necessary upgrades and modernization of our current UHF radio infrastructure that controls all police radio traffic in the city. The radio infrastructure has seen minimal improvements since its implementation, and it is now at the point of risking catastrophic failure. Any disruption to the radio system would be dangerous to both public safety and to the citizens of Warwick. Current radio components are all end of life and end of service. In order to keep our radio system operational today, we are utilizing Verizon's copper wireline system for connectivity between radio towers. These lines are outdated, and Verizon is in the process of removing all copper lines from telephone poles. Verizon has not given us a hard date when we would be kicked off of their lines, but they continue to send us letters indicating this is in the very near possibility. At the present time, we are paying Verizon $9,400 a month to use these transmission lines. The cost continues to rise month after month. Our proposed upgrade will save the city approximately $4,500 a month, or nearly $55,000 per year. There are two parts of the radio system that need to be fixed. The first part is the equipment, and the second part is the transmission of the radio traffic between the sites. The proposed upgrade to the radio infrastructure includes replacing 100% of the old infrastructure components with the most current, highest rated public safety grade Motorola G-Series repeaters, receivers, and comparators. This includes replacing existing transmitters and receivers at all six tower sites, replacing the connection between the sites, which are currently on Verizon's end-of-life analog network, replacing it with city-owned redundant microwave links, effectively upgrading the system to operate on the digital IP site connectivity, which will increase reliability and system uptime. The police dispatch consoles will be replaced with an AVTEC system, which will replace the end-of-life Motorola MCC5500 system. By upgrading the radio infrastructure, the PD will have the ability to facilitate digital and encrypted radio channels in the future. The police department is requesting this upgrade be awarded to Cyber Communications, located at 90 Colorado Ave in Warwick. Cybercom is a sole source vendor for all Motorola equipment in the state of Rhode Island. This is the best possible time to update and upgrade this radio infrastructure because American Rescue Plan Act funding is available for this specific type of project. The cost of this project is $1,183,182.84. If approved, funding would be allocated from budget code 25-799.
Thank you, Major. And I also want to say thank you to you, the Chief, and to Director Carlucci for working together and keeping us informed on this modification and this change. Any questions for members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
No questions. I'll just say thanks to the Director Carlucci for running through this today. So I think we were anticipating this, maybe not in an exact form, but we talked about this during budget time in terms of broadband upgrades and radio as a component of it. So this is good. Moving this towards the future seems like a good use of ARPA funds. And the director was highlighting some of the operating cost efficiencies once we're moved over to this new system. So yeah, I'm good with this so far. What would the timeline be in terms of implementation?
We're probably about 6 to 8 months. It takes them about 20 weeks right now to actually get the equipment in. Then Cybercom takes about 3 weeks. They actually set up the whole infrastructure at their facility on Colorado Ave, make sure everything's running properly, and then it's about 2 to 3 weeks to install it after that.
And I didn't see any line item in here in terms of project management, but I'm assuming that Cybercom's going to manage the rollout?
Correct.
Okay. I'm good.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Major, so is it my understanding that this $1,183,000 is that going to be over a 2-year period?
Correct. About $800,000 this fiscal year. And $400,000 in next fiscal year.
Okay, and that's all 100% ARPA money.
Correct.
On page 3, at least of our paperwork, it said that the police and fire right now, it sounds to me as though they're kind of tied into one system, and you say that this product has numerous issues resulting in phone line failures. It is best practice not to tie a police radio and phone system together with the same provider. A loss in communication would result in both systems going down. So let's tell us the hypothetical. What happens if something like that were to occur? Both systems goes down.
If we were on the same provider, which is what we're trying to avoid, that would be if we went to like a Cox that was able to do both, which we don't know if they could. But if we were with Cox, who we have our phone lines with right now, if our radio was tied into them and the whole system went down, then correct, we would have really no communications at that point. Our cars are capable without a radio system infrastructure in place to communicate between each other at a distance. Our portable radios would really not work. I won't say at all, but they wouldn't really work unless they were in close proximity to one another. And our only other option at that point would have to probably switch over to an 800 system temporarily, which wouldn't be very beneficial long-term.
So it's very conceivable that if both of those communication systems went down and let's say the fire department was on the scene of a fire and required police assistance for whatever reason, certainly could be a problem getting some police officers on site if they needed it?
I would say yes.
In your breakdown, and by the way, thank you for a real good explanation on why you're looking for $1.2 million. These are, for me, these are the type of things I like to see, as opposed to, you know, this is what it is, this is what it costs. You know, thank you very much. You've done a really good job in explaining this. Quite honestly, some of the technical stuff I would have to call Phil and get an explanation on, because some of it I don't have a clue on what the technical data is.
Me too. But,
you gave us a good breakdown of where the $1,183,000 is going for. The question that I have, and I think I know the answer, but I need to hear it from you. Number six, it says budgetary console furniture, associated equipment and installation. So budgetary console furniture, I'm assuming that's not like your living room set or kitchen table or that sort of thing, right?
Correct.
What is that, budgetary console furniture?
I'm going to have to ask the director to step in on this one.
You're confused with it as well.
Actually, since this radio equipment will be switched out, it's just form factor. It's the technology integrated into the consoles and everything. So when we were at CyberCom, they were explaining to us that this is kind of an integrated package, whereas if you were to look at it today, you would notice they're just desks. Some of them have their phones hooked up with a little brace underneath it to get at the right angle.
Okay.
We're trying to do away with that.
Okay. Major, assuming that when all of this is completed 2 years down the road, are there any reoccurring costs that we could expect to see, to other than, you know, some tune-ups, you know, on the infrastructure? I mean, whether we do this or we don't do this, there's tune-ups that are going to be required. So other than that, is there any other expenses, reoccurring expenses that we can expect to see other than your maintenance costs?
Yes, there are. So right now, one of our towers is actually on top of Aldridge Junior High School. That building, we don't know what's going to happen to it, but we have to plan that that building is not going to be there. So we were able to secure a spot on the top of the tower on Venturi Ave. With that comes a fee. It's, $1,125 a month to be able to have that location on that tower. So that's a reoccurring fee month after month. For the first 3 years of this project, there's no other maintenance costs. After years three, we would have to get a maintenance contract per se with CyberCom, and that would cover the equipment if anything were to happen to it, to break, to be repaired, just like we have maintenance contracts for our, you know, our other portable radios or our laptops, things like that.
Are we paying a fee for the tower that's there now?
No, because we're not on that tower.
We're not on that tower.
Right now, we're not.
Okay. And you said that fee is $1,125 a month?
Correct. Because the fee that we're paying now is the copper line fee, and that's $9,400 a month.
$9,400 a month.
Yes, that's what we pay now.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Answers my questions.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any other questions or comments from members of the council? Questions, comments, members of the public? Questions, comments, members of the public? Thank you. Item number two, bid number two is 2022-310, purchase of a paratransit van, found on page 17. Good evening, Director Underwood.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much. So we had gone out to bid for a paratransit bus, 12 passenger plus two wheelchair positions. As you can see, the bids were quite broad in scope. They went from $68,886 to $114,346. My recommendation is Matthews Buses at the $68,886 mark. This would be paid for by a Rhode Island state grant. It comes through the Office of Healthy Aging. The city would be responsible for paying up front, and then we would be reimbursed by the state for this purchase. It would come from code 47799, our capital expenditures.
Thank you. So to reiterate, Director, you said that we would pay the upfront costs, but we already got approved for the grant. They would reimburse us the costs.
That's correct, Councilman. Yes.
The full cost, is it because this vehicle falls within the parameter?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions for members of the committee? Questions, comments, members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Director, did I just hear you say that there would be no matching requirements from the city?
There's a question of like $4,800 that the city is willing to match, but of that total amount, it would be maximum like $4,800, somewhere in that neighborhood.
What do you mean there's a question?
The budget was last year was put in two line items. So at this moment, it looks like there's $73,000 in that line item. A small portion of that grant was actually supposed to go to another purpose. Finance Director Schaefer is working on that right now, and I'm not quite sure, to be honest, what the result was.
So there's very little information provided to us in our book on this. What's the anticipated delivery time for this vehicle?
180 days is what they've given us.
180 days?
Yep.
And you have one of these vans now?
We do. We have two of that particular type of van. The other two that we have are 16 plus two. The plus two being the wheelchair positions.
Oh, sorry. They have what?
16 passenger, plus two wheelchair positions.
Okay.
So we have two of those, and we have two of the 14 plus two.
And has there ever been a time when you've had to have three?
Ultimately, we need to have at least five functioning buses. So what we're trying to do is replace them as we go along. We have two that are quite old and should be replaced. But we've never had a program where we were replacing them when we should. So we're just right now trying to replace them as we can.
So again, has there ever been a time when you've had three? I know you said you need five. Has there ever been a time when you've had three?
Bob, do you want to? I'll let our planning.
Would you mind identifying yourself? Thank you for the record.
Bob Smith, Transportation Planner. We've had two 12 passenger, two wheelchair position buses in the past. This will be the third one. They've suited our needs very well. They've filled the gaps when we needed them. We don't always run a full bus. So these do accommodate what we need.
So the answer is, to your knowledge, you've never had three.
We've never had three.
At one time.
Okay. And why do you think, what's the rationale or reasoning for saying that you need five?
Well, we've at one point in time, we had six buses available. Right, with the pandemic and the COVID issues in the past 2 years, we've scaled back quite a bit. We're still in a rebuilding process. Eventually, we will need all six buses on the road. That'll give us one spare to in case buses go in for PMs or we have any service that has to be done on the buses.
So now I'm confused. I thought you just said that you've never had three a minute ago, and now you're just saying you've had six at one time?
We've had six total buses at one time.
Total. You just said to me a few minutes ago, you've never had three.
Originally, when I came on board, we had 16 passenger buses. Over the course of time, they were two of the buses were replaced with 12 passenger buses. They've served us well, and the addition of one more will probably also serve us well. We'll basically have three 12-passenger buses with two wheelchair positions, and we'll have three 16-passenger buses along with that, with the inclusion of this bus.
And, all right, so not only have you had three at one time, you had six. Okay, so now I understand it. How many of our citizens do use this transportation?
Well, like I said, we're in the middle of rebuilding the program. Prior to COVID in 2020, we had approximately 600 active citizens that use the buses on a consistent basis. Right now, we're probably about 200, and that's increasing by the month. So we are on an upscale. We are moving in the right direction. Hopefully, once we get settled back and people's confidence come back into, you know, to use our programs and use the buses, we'll get back up to those numbers before.
Mm-hmm. And this service, that is something that's provided at no charge to the citizens?
It's a nominal charge. It's 50 cents per trip. So in other words, a round trip would cost a dollar.
Okay. What's the year of the two that you have now?
The two 12 passengers, they're 2014s.
Okay. They're in good shape?
The fleet's in very good shape. The shelf life on these buses are about 10 years. We stretch them out a little farther than that because we don't use them as hard as, say, RIPTA does in their program. So we have right now, we have one bus that's already in its 10th year, and we'll have three more buses that'll be in their 9th year going forward. So in order to keep the fleet up to a maintained level, that's why we're looking for this bus now. The other thing to consider is that the next time we go out for bid with the variation in the cost of this bus, if we have a possibility to trade in, if we have buses that have trade-in value, it may be a consideration for lower bid in the future.
Plus, like you said earlier, the last couple of years, these buses have had minimal use at best. Right?
Due to COVID, yes.
Probably sometime during that time, they weren't being utilized at all.
We have. They have been down, but it's just due to the COVID issues.
But that also extends their life a little bit as well. I'm confused on the results of the bids. So you've listed there four different vendors, Matthew Brothers being the lowest price. But in warranties, I don't know if it's just coincidence or what, but in the warranties, you list the warranties as note one for Creative, note two for Brown, note three for Datco, and note four for Matthews. Is that just coincidence that it happened to be 1, 2, 3, 4? Or do all four of those notes apply to all four of the bidders?
I think they were compatible, weren't they?
My understanding is that they were quite compatible. The only one that was different was the Creative bus that was charging extra for a 100,000 mile warranty, but to my understanding, they were all, the chassis warranty was for 3 years or 36,000 miles, and the powertrain 5 years or 60,000 miles.
So Matthew's bus, what we're going to get would be the 5 year, 60,000 on the powertrain.
Correct.
And 3 years on the 3 years, 36,000 on the chassis.
Correct. The only one, like I said, that was different was the Creative Bus, who put in an option for a 5 year, 500,000, or I'm sorry, 100,000 mile, but there was also a charge for that. And that was also the $114,000 bid.
That was on DATCO, giving the bumper to bumper standard warranty plus the 5 years. That was only DATCO that was offering that?
Yes, I believe so.
And they were $40,000 more?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, 70% more. Okay, those are my questions, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I do have one more. Sorry.
Nope, that's it. No, I'm only kidding. Go ahead, Councilman.
so this price, this is a guaranteed price. If this is approved tonight, these are the numbers they're going to charge you. They're not going to come back and say, well, you know what, 2 days ago or 2 hours ago, the price went up. This is a guaranteed number.
I spoke with Doug Gifford, the representative, the sales rep for Matthews, and there was a 30-day limit on that, and we would just be getting under the wire. I think April 6th would be the 30 days.
April 6th would be the 30 days?
I believe so. If I'm not mistaken.
Have you or anyone else made any contact with them in the past several days to find out if they were going to hold that number?
Yeah, he said he would hold it for this meeting. I explained to him that we had this meeting tonight, and he was okay with holding it for this.
So if this is approved this evening and you call tomorrow or send an email tonight, that number is going to be locked in?
Yes, Councilman.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Questions or comments from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the last item that falls within the threshold. I will now move it to ask the committee, the council, then the public, if there is a bid they would like to discuss, one in particular. I'd like to begin it here with the committee. I'd like to discuss bid 2022-189 heating oil for Randall Holden. That is found on page 70. And I would also like to discuss bid 2022-391, repairs to fire utility 2. That is found on page 84. Are there any items members of the committee would like to discuss? Thank you. Members of the council, Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Item 2022-344, found on page 51. Item 2022-389, found on page 78. Item 2022-349, found on page 81.
I'm sorry, just to back up to the last one. You requested 2022-349?
Yes.
All right.
So Perth that's Skyjack.
Page 81?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had to verify. Okay. Please continue where you left off.
And item 2022-397, found on page 96.
Thank you. Are there any other items on the bid package members of the council would like to discuss? Are there any items on the bid package members of the public would like to discuss?
Mr. 60, 20, 22, 339, promotional exams.
Could you identify yourself, please?
Pardon me?
Could you identify yourself for the record, please?
Rob Cody, Ward 7.
Thank you. Will that be all?
Yes, that's the only one I want to discuss.
Thank you. Are there any other items on the bid package members of the public would like to discuss? Thank you. It makes sense to go in order. So we will start at bid 2022-344, purchase of 60 horsepower marine outboard motor. This is found on page 51, and the cost is $7,200. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Major, how many hours on the engine that you're looking to replace?
I don't have that information.
What's the year of the engine you're looking to replace?
I believe it's original, but what I do know is that it cannot be fixed. We did bring it to Wood Boat and Motor because we were trying to get it fixed, and they said that it's not fixable. Those parts are no longer available for that motor.
Is Wood Boat and Motor a Mercury dealer, an authorized Mercury dealer?
The engine that's on there now is a Yamaha.
Oh, it's a Yamaha?
Yes.
And I know they are a Yamaha dealer.
Yes.
So did you bring it to a certified Mercury repair shop?
No, because it's a Yamaha.
And they said, Wood Boat and Motor, they said that Mercury cannot be repaired?
So the engine that's on our boat now, it's a Yamaha motor.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So you're looking to replace with the Mercury?
With the Mercury, correct.
Got it. And what year is the boat? You said it was the original engine. What year is the boat?
I'm not 100% sure. I know it's a 15-foot center console boat, but I don't know the year.
I'd be curious to know the year for an engine that can't be repaired. Because Wood Boat and Motor said it can't be repaired. I'd be curious to know what the year is, especially when it's stating in here that parts are no longer available.
Correct, and that was right from Wood Boat and Motor.
I understand that, but we don't know what the year of this engine is. It could be a 1960 or it could be a 2010.
Correct.
You know, we don't know.
But at this point, I don't think it matters. It's not repairable, whether it was a 2020 or a 1960 motor. They don't have the parts to fix it. Otherwise, we would have fixed it. That was our intent.
Okay. Can you find out and contact me what the year of that engine is?
Sure thing, sir.
And also, when was it that they looked at this engine?
It was during, I believe, the end of last summer, towards the end of that season.
So has that boat been inoperable as of that time?
Yes. We don't utilize any boats in the winter.
No, I know you don't use it during the winter, but was it operable before? Winter doesn't kick in. Boats don't start coming out of the water till the end of November. So when did this engine die?
Again, I'm not 100% sure. This isn't one of our boats that we use on a weekend basis, like our bigger 30-foot boats. This is a boat that's going to go into the smaller waterways, the small lakes and ponds. So it's trailered. It's not something that they fire up every weekend.
With your position paper says this includes not only the motor installation, et cetera, et cetera. So this is going to be complete. You're going to trailer the boat over to Wooden Motor. They're going to pull that old engine off. They're going to put a new engine on, and this is inclusive of everything: cable controls, steering controls, everything else that you need. So you can load that boat back up on the truck, drop it in the water, and go to work.
Correct.
And this money's coming out of asset forfeiture?
Correct.
Okay.
And just, I just got a text from Bob Hart, who used to run our boat program. He says it's a late 90s boat, but it doesn't have an hour meter. So he's not 100% sure, but it was given to us from the fire department.
Okay, great. So we've determined it's a late 90s, doesn't have an hour meter. Okay. Thank you, Major. Those are, I'm all set. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on bid 2022-344? Any questions from members of the public? Thank you. Next is bid 2022-339. As I said, we'll go in order. This is found on page 62. This is fire department promotional exams. I would like to reiterate that, Mr. Cody, I would like to reiterate that all questions will come before the chairperson of the committee to before directed and will not be directed directly to the chief.
A question for Mr. Howell. Who are the vendors?
So I'm going to seek, please understand that I'm going to seek the, as this is completely new to me, is this a, the vendors, I know in some of the tests we give, the vendors are not identified, or maybe not the vendors are identified, but the certain type of test is not identified because of the privacy and the concerns. Is that applied to this?
Correct. They're confidential vendors because they try to prevent tampering with the promotional exams. So if one of the people that take an exam knew the vendor,
yeah,
they potentially could be given test results.
Thank you.
Well, that's problematic because if you think that the vendor or the participants taking the test would do something untoward to try to contact the vendor, that leads to a host of different questions. But furthermore, can you point to any place in the city charter that allows that a public bid be held confidential so that the people that are paying for it don't know who the bid is? I contacted the Secretary of State and they said that's completely illegal. This is not a sealed bid system. So in a sealed bid system, I can understand bids are presented, they're sealed. Nobody knows what the bid is until the bid is opened in public in front of all of the people that bid, all of the vendors. In this case, we don't know who ID number 10 is. And so I would like to know, I have a number of questions for somebody that we're about to give money to that we don't know who it is. And for example, so, and I'll just use you, Mr. Howe, respectfully, you don't know who the vendors are, correct?
I do not.
So if, and again, this is hypothetical. I don't want you to take offense to this.
Not at all.
Okay. So if your cousin or your brother-in-law was part of that business, you would have to recuse yourself from bidding on it, right? Because you have a conflict of interest, which is, we've seen this happen before with the city council, that if somebody had a conflict of interest, whether they had a family member or so forth, they have to recuse themselves. So how do we know that there's nobody on the city council that has any relationship to any of these vendors where they would have to recuse themselves?
I think it would be, respectfully, I think the answer would be if the vendor was, it's known, it's an ethics violation. If it's a known, it's unknown. So I'm voting on an unknown, but I do understand what the purpose of the vote is for. And I welcome the solicitor to add any input to that, but that would be my understanding of it. Since because I don't know the vendors, it's an unknown.
Well, what we could find out afterwards, because after this bid is placed and after these exams are administered, then we find out who the vendor is. And at that point, we have no idea. So it begs the question. I've never seen a bid in all the years I've been following city council. I've never seen a confidential bid come up, and it's extremely problematic. because I look through all the ordinances, and there is nothing in the ordinances that state, even under conflicts of interest, that this is an open bid process. All these vendors need to be identified. And for a lot of reasons, I'll hold the specific reason so a little later on during the conversation, let me ask through the chair, who was the company that provided the last time, who provided the service the last time?
Chief, is that information that you have?
Nope, I can't give that information because that is still an active bid and we still have promotional exams going on with that vendor.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
He said that there's still active promotional exams going on, so therefore it's still an active bid and he can't disclose who the vendor is.
So that's really problematic. We don't know who it is. Let me ask you this question. Is it a possibility that this vendor could have ties to the city of Warwick, could have been a former employee or a current employee?
You're asking me to
Well, I'm asking the chief through you.
Thank you. I that's a hypothetical that I don't feel comfortable having the chief answer, and I certainly don't feel comfortable answering. You're asking a hypothetical. I guess there's 100.
Well, it's really not hypothetical. You got to remember, it's a confidential bid, and we don't want to say who it is. So I'm trying to narrow it down. This company, or these three companies, you have ID number 10, number 25, and number 30. You're awarding the bid to ID number 30. That's who you want to award it to. So let's ask the question, what are the companies ID number 10 and number 25? Who are they?
Confidential.
Sorry. It's confidential.
The chief has already answered confidential.
Well, I think that's problematic, and there's nowhere in the city charter that allows that. This is a public bid. These are public monies that are being expended. This isn't like, you know, Ditch, Dodd, and Hyde, guess who it is. You have to disclose it under the law. You have to disclose it under the law. The only reason that I can see that this would be confidential is if there is a conflict of interest. And I don't think that you can move forward on voting for this without disclosing it to the public. It's our money. We need to know. So, because now I don't even know, with every single vendor that's on your bid list today, I can go through and I can go on the Secretary of State's website and the Better Business Bureau website, and I can find out who they are, if there's ever been complaints made against them, and if they have insurance, liability insurance. We can't do this. So we don't know who this vendor is. We don't know if they have liability insurance. We don't know if they're in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. We don't know if they're an employee of the city of Warwick, which happened before with this department. We don't know if they're a former city employee, which Section 16.2 of the city charter would specifically stop you from doing that. You would be disqualified under 16.2, conflict of interest. So I don't see what the big secret is. And it's extremely problematic that no one on the city council knows who this person is.
Are you asking me?
Well, I think it common sense would beg the question that this should not go forward, because we don't know who the bidder is and we can't ask any questions about it. How can that even be legal? I mean, from the phone calls that I made today, it is completely illegal. That it has to be disclosed. This is a public body. This is a public meeting. This is not a sealed bid process. If this was a sealed bid process, I would not have an issue with it, naturally, until the bids are open. Because when the bids are open and they're open in front of all the vendors that submitted bids, then you have to, you know, you have to disclose who it is. And the other question is that it says that the bid is for $20,000, but then when you go to page 64, they want to award the bid for $25,000. So the bid came before the council at $20,000, but now on page 64, they want to award it for $25,000. What's the extra $5,000?
I'm sorry, page 64 is another bid. Am I
Page 64 on the PDF, dated March 22nd, 2022.
Okay.
It says confidential vendor ID 30 and the award of $25,000. If you look at page 61, the bid is in front of the council for $20,000. So how did we go from $20,000 to $25,000 for somebody that we don't even know who it is?
So we'll address that, solicitor. Did you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Chief, with the issues being raised here, is there any impending harm of tabling this for a meeting and allowing us to conduct the full due diligence, both from the legal perspective question that's been raised, as well as working with purchasing to at least clarify the dollar threshold differential?
Not at all.
Thank you.
There's this bid doesn't expire until the end of June, so we've got plenty of time.
I'm sorry, Bill. Did you ask him if there was any legal complications that could come from this? I haven't had a problem hearing.
No problem, sir. The question I posed to the chief was whether a decision needed to be made this evening, and if holding it for another meeting, which we have in 2 weeks, would be appropriate to allow us to make sure that all due diligence, including the items you cited, are addressed.
Okay. So I guess my next question would be, how do we go from 20,000 that's been presented before the council, and then in the last page in the fine print to 25,000, and there's no itemization of where that extra 5,000 comes from?
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chief.
So the resolution is correct. My recommendation is incorrect. There's a typo on that. I meant $20,000. I made a typo on my letter. So the resolution for $20,000 is the correct amount we're requesting.
So thank you. And excuse me one moment, Mr. Cody. Solicitor, so it would be the plan of this committee to hold this item. We can finish discussion. Understood.
The committee can take action. It would be my guidance to allow us to, given that there is no impending emergency to address this in mm-hmm. the 2 weeks, that we, my recommendation would be to hold the item and clarify the items that have been raised.
Okay, so we're going to hold it based on looking at the ramifications of a confidential bid, number one, and number two, that they have an error in this where they put it at 25,000. Okay. So I have another question that I want on the record, and I want to ask the chief, and I'm going to come right out with it. Can you say to the council tonight and to the members of the audience that you know for a fact that any of these companies, particularly the ID number 30, that you're recommending the award, that none of the workers, none of the employees, none of the staff have any relationship, either present, past, or with the City of Warwick or with the Warwick Fire Department? Can you tell us that for a fact tonight?
Chief, I'm gonna ask that the chief not answer that, seeing that we're gonna hold it, okay. Seeing that they're gonna look into it, the points you brought up, and I'd feel better the chief not answer that until we get the answers for there, and then we can move forward.
So will we be able to get an answer to that at the next meeting when this does come up?
That's the intent. And we are going to hold it. I plan on putting a motion forward to hold it to the next meeting.
Do we have a date with that, Mr. Chairman, when that will be held?
Until the next meeting. You said 18th?
It'll be the next meeting in April?
Next meeting in April, April 18th. That's what the proposed to hold it for will be.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, can you put a PCR on that, please?
Since discussion was opened, I will open up to members of the council and members of the committee, but I am going to, one moment, I'm going to PCR, please. PCR 3922. Thank you. Are there any comments from members of the committee? Thank you. I see Councilman Ricks's hand is up. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Chairman. I would briefly just want to state that as to the conflict of interest question that was raised, I think that the best practice for any member of the City Council, if we have any relative or any business association or the like with one of those types of companies that provides those types of services, the safe thing to do would be to simply recuse, regardless of whether that person that we have a connection to or business is the winning bidder or not. Because at least that's how my understanding of this is, and how I've done this in the past, where if my wife works for a certain company and that company bids on contract with the city, then even if that company is not the one selected by the city, I recuse myself from the vote. I recuse myself from the discussion, because even if that particular company is not the one that is being selected, then it's still a matter of a competitor of it is being considered instead of that particular company. So even though we may not know which companies did or did not bid, which companies or company was or was not selected, the same logic applies. And so while I think that there may be some other concerns that are valid that have been brought up and need to be investigated before we vote on this, I don't think that the conflict of interest is something that we need to be concerned about simply because we don't know the identity of those particular companies. It's simply a matter of us as individuals making sure to do our due diligence and recuse ourselves if there is a possibility that there might be a conflict of interest, just to be on the safe side.
Hold on one moment, please. Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Are there any other comments from members of the council? Councilman Latisore.
Thank you, Chairman. So I'd like to comment on both comments from the chief as well as Mr. Cody. I've been on the council, as you know, going on 10 years, and I have never seen a bid come in where the vendors were unidentified or anonymous. I hear what the chief said, that this is to prevent, you know, someone picking up the phone and saying, hey, you know, Mr. Vendor, can you get me the answers? Well, I think there's, you know, some pretty stiff laws and pretty strict penalties that govern that type of activity or behavior, both on the vendor's part as well as whoever was making that phone call, if something like that should occur. That's what was suggested. Not that it did occur, but to prevent that. We have, on occasion, had to refrain from questioning regarding security issues because of the police department. Police department has some safety issues, some security issues, et cetera, that we have to protect. And I concur with that completely. I do have a problem voting on a vendor who I have no idea who it is, who they are, where they come from. I understand and hear the argument that, well, you can't have a conflict of interest if you don't know who the vendor is. I don't want to be put in a position to have to say, well, I didn't recuse because I didn't know who the vendor was. And maybe I find out it's my brother that was the vendor. I don't want to be put in that position, particularly where there's nothing that I see in this that would impact the safety of our city, the safety of our potential firefighters who would be taking these promotional exams, the security of the city, the security of the fire department. I don't see where any of that comes into play. So my position is that I'm going to be really hard pressed to vote for this either way if I don't know who the vendor is. You know, why don't we just put all vendors, let's make all vendors anonymous so that I can't call them up and find out, well, why is it you got this instead of that? And you all know I do that often. I don't see the rationale for this. And I think Mr. Cody has brought up some pretty strong arguments for having those vendors listed. And I don't see any argument for keeping them private. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. And Mr. Cody, I know that you stated you wanted to respond, but if you don't mind, Since the statement he made is in response to us finding out what the solicitor can find out, can we wait until the result of the finding? Thank you. Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh.
So I just wanted to make a point with Mr. Ricks is, and I understand that your point, but I really don't think that anybody on the council has the time to get on the phone and call every one of their relatives to see if they have any business dealings with any type of entity that issues tests. So to me, that really avoids the point. Even if the council was to say to me that we went into executive session and we know all of the vendors and we have found that we don't have any conflicts of interest, I would still have a problem with that because it's a public meeting, it's a public body, and we need to know. I'm a taxpayer. My money's going there. I want to know where it's going. And to comment on what the chief said, that we actually have a vendor now that is doing this from, I guess, the last budget cycle, and not one person on this city council knows who that money went to. I think that's really, really problematic, right? So this question has never been brought up before. I kind of pay pretty close attention to the docket and to the bid package on a regular basis. I've never seen it, but now we found out that we actually have a vendor that's unnamed working for the city that taxpayers' dollars are being implemented to, and we don't know who it is. So do we only have one vendor that's not identified, or could there be other vendors in the city of Warwick that we're paying that we don't know who they are? So that brings up another question of, this seems to be, it's like a hidden bid. And to me, it begs the question, well, if we have one hidden bid, is there a possibility that we do have others? So it just raises those questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from members of the public?
Chairman?
Oh, Councilman, I'm sorry. It's Councilman Sinapi.
No worries. So I haven't been here that long, but I've seen at least well over a handful of bids come in with confidential vendors. And every time it's come up, I've always been told the same thing, that we're allowed to. So I would be curious as to the outcome of this, because if what Mr. Cody is saying is correct, we definitely need to change it going forward. That being said, there are exceptions to those rules in Rhode Island law, so I'm curious if whether or not we fall under any of them. But it's not for right now to figure out.
Thank you, Councilman. And the solicitor is going to, we'll have an answer in 2 weeks. So any other comments or questions from the public? Thank you. May I have a motion to hold until April 18th?
Motion to hold.
Second.
I have a motion to hold formerly bid 2022-339, now PCR 39-22, till April 18th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Next, going down on the bid package, excuse me, we're going to go to bid 2022-189, Randall Holding Holden Heating Oil. This is found on page 70. Well, just pardon me while I look at my tablet here with my all my notes in the bid package. There we go. Hi, Christy.
Good evening.
This was requested by me. If you don't mind, this is could you just explain the bid, please?
So this bid was awarded. It started January 15th, 2022. For $15,000.
Right.
We've expended $12,543.60. I do have a couple of bills that need to be paid, which I cannot do yet because we have to increase the cap. However, we also need to put oil in this building. It's occupied by city employees. Winter months, it gets cold. So we're just asking to increase the contract award another $20,000, because this bid does not expire until January 15th, 2023.
So that you're thinking forward of the, let's say, possibly October, November, December?
Yes.
Into January. to ensure that the oil is in the building. Is it the intent, if you can't answer this, I completely understand, but is it the intent of the city to stay in Holden, or is there a look, there is, are we going to be evacuating Holden eventually?
That I don't know.
So you're just planning ahead?
I think that the majority of the people in that building might be going to the Sawtooth building when it opens, but there is still a division that will be in there, and we use it for storage. Not that it has to be heated for that, but there is still one division that would be left in the building.
Okay. And there is still, we still have requirements such as, you know, maintaining that things don't burst and break. And
correct.
Because we still have a responsibility. Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions, comments? Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Christy. Are there any electronic HVAC controls there? Is that on a schedule? Are there setbacks? Is that
I know there's different thermostats, but it's, you can't cut off just one portion of the building because of the way the heat runs. It's very old. I think the school was probably built in the 50s, and it's original to the building. So we don't have the luxury of being able to just, you know, segregate a wing of the school and either turn the heat on or off just for that wing. It's kind of all or nothing.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions, comment? Councilman Lattiser.